everybody, and welcome to episode 344 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. I am your host, Mark Huguenez, and I know it's been like less than 24 hours since, no, actually just over 24 hours since I last put up an episode of this here podcast, but I didn't get a chance to talk about games yesterday on Pixelated Radio because Pixelated Radio did not happen. Why didn't it happen? Oh, let me tell you. It didn't happen because, well, it sounded like I was going to be mean towards someone or blame someone. It's just that Rob's mic was not working, and from the way he described it, it sounds like he's going to have to get a new mic, and hopefully he will have everything resolved by the next recording, but with the Switch coming out and all other nonsense, maybe he won't, but I don't know. I don't know the exact situation. Hopefully we'll be recording our next scheduled episode. Anyway, I mentioned on the last episode of this podcast that I had a few games to talk about, and I was holding those for Pixelated Radio, and since that didn't happen, I want to talk about them, and I want to talk about them before I forget about them. Because one of them is especially forgettable, for me at least, and that would be Oxenfree. So, Oxenfree was a little indie darling that came out, I think, either 2015 or 2016. I just remember it being an early year release, and a lot of people really liked it. I'm not one of them. It's about a 4 or 5 hour game. There's not a lot to it. It's mostly about dialogue and conversations and the way you choose to interact with your friends in those conversations, because there aren't really many puzzles. It's not overly complicated. It's just like a 2D walking simulator. And I was really, really happy the moment it ended. And the thing about it is, being 4 or 5 hours, it drags. It dragged for me a lot. I would say I wish it was more along the range of 3-ish hours, because in so many conversations, I just kind of wanted them to stop talking. Because they're either talking about stuff I don't care about, or I just feel like the conversation was already concluded, and yet they keep going. Even if you don't respond, they'll just keep talking. I'm like, oh, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, oh, God. So that's not great. And the writing is okay at times, but sometimes it's pretty bad, and that whole... in the same way that Life is Strange can be a bit, nobody talks that way, in its writing. Oxenfree has that problem too, but I think I prefer it in Life is Strange because it felt more believable, but I just felt like the characters were more fully realized or just had more personality or just weren't as paper thin as the Oxenfree characters, which I laugh at that just because the style of it, the art style, makes it almost look like they could be paper cutouts, because they have such thin personalities, so they're made out of paper. Clearly, I mean, that was the plan all along, right? That's why they're so paper thin, because they're just cutouts. But I didn't care for the dialogue. One of the lines that stuck out to me was somebody saying, oh, that's so banana bread. And when I heard that, I'm just like, shut your stupid mouth with that garbage. It's that so bad. Who the hell would ever say that? I can't, you know, maybe I am just out of the loop since I'm not a teenager. And though I don't know how old these, I think they're graduating high school. So 18 or like, but I don't feel like anyone would say that's so banana bread unless they maybe live in Portland. I don't know. But I just feel like the way people make fun of Portland and the existence of Portlandia, maybe that's the one place. But, you know, maybe try and be something that is a bit more universal and not so hipstery and stupid and, oh, isn't this clever and funny? It's not. It's not. So I didn't care for that. I really hated Clarissa. I wanted to get rid of her, and then I accidentally ended up saving her along with everyone else. So I saved everyone. I don't know if you can actually not save everyone. I do wish I liked the game more, because when I finished and you have to sit through the credits, because it won't let you skip. It says instead of, you know, start new game, it says continue timeline ? And I find that intriguing, but I don't really want to because I don't care about the characters. And then the game itself is just, like I said, it's sort of like this 2D walking simulator, because you're just walking from area to area. You use this radio to mess around with the world, and it initiates some little moments of sci-fi nonsense. I don't know if it's ever supposed to be scary. It wasn't scary at all. I didn't find the mystery that interesting. And it's not, I don't get a goose, not a goose, a Goonies vibe from it, which I think a lot of people were throwing out there. And maybe that's just because I don't like the characters, but also just the whole craziness of the sci-fi element. What the hell is that? I swear I heard something weird. Anyway, Oxenfree was just a real disappointment. And I think the biggest surprise to me was just how much it dragged for me, despite being so short. I just felt like, oh, when is this going to end? And there was a point where you have an objective to get on the boat and escape. And I was like, finally, this game's going to be over. But then you have to go and do like a fetch questy type of thing. And like, oh, God, I thought I was finally done with this. And some of the audio can be hard to hear, in particular in a point where I had to, it's not, there weren't puzzles. It's just like, what has radiation or what has this? And then you have to pick an object in this house. And the second clue she gave me, I didn't hear what the hell she said. So I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to even pick up, because I'm not sure what you just said. And then I failed at that and quit out and got back in, because I wasn't going to let myself fail because of that. And I think maybe in that situation, depending on how you do, you can lose characters, but I'm not entirely sure. I will also say that the checkpoint system is garbage. It seems to only save in between areas, and only if you quit out in the game and not quit from like in my case, from the dashboard, not the dashboard, the guide menu. But the checkpoint system is really bad. I do not like it. I think it should be saving more often, especially since it's all about this dialogue and these choices you make. You can go back and change things if you want to play it that way, because of the checkpoint, the how lenient it is and how much time there is between them. So if you did something and then you're like, I don't really like this, you can then quit out and then just replay a long section where dialogue just goes on. That's the only punishment you get, is having to sit through the dialogue, because you can't skip it. You can't just be like, okay, I have already heard this, shut up. I would, if you can do that in the new timeline, that'd be great, because I wouldn't, if I wanted to play through it again, I would not want to hear a lot of the chatter. But yeah, I guess my highlight of the game was slapping Ren. That was fun. But yeah. Oxenfree was not for me. I made a rhyme. And then the other game I want to talk about is Legend of Zelda, The Wind Waker, which I've been playing on the Wii U. And I finished the first dungeon. I'm now to the second dungeon, the Forbidden Forest, or whatever it's called, where I have to save some tree person who fell in there. Oh, God. And I really like that game. So it holds up so well. It's so freaking pretty. I have a digital copy of it because I have the Wind Waker Wii U console. I got that bundle when it was like there was like some super crazy cheap deal. That I think it was cheaper than the Wii U ended up dropping to in its official price cut matter. If the Switch would take my digital collection of Wii U titles, I'd be more inclined to get a Switch, even though right now there are things that have come up financially that are getting in the way. But also just, I mean, the biggest problem with a Switch is that it's not a $300 purchase. It's a $360 purchase because you need a game and it doesn't come with one. Even though the one you and everyone would want to play and I would want to play is Zelda, which would never come bundled, it doesn't even come with something like 1-2 Switch or some kind of minigame collection. And that's annoying. And of course, you know, I didn't pre-order it, so I don't have one unless there's a big allotment of them on day one in stores and everything. But it's just too much. It's too much. And a lot of people saying, oh, well, if you really want to play Zelda, you're going to need to get the Pro Controller. I also don't like the fact that you can't remove the battery. Not too happy about that. I don't know. It's just, I know I will get it at some point because there will be an Animal Crossing. There will be a Pokemon. I think, for me, it's going to be the most interesting thing when we see what a Pokemon game looks like with the power of a console, a home console, because we've never seen a real Pokemon game on a console, on a full-fledged console. They've only ever been on handheld devices, unless I'm mistaking something, but you know, Pokemon Snap, Stadium, stuff like that, that doesn't count. So what a full-fledged Pokemon game looks like with the power of the Switch behind it, it could be insane, and I'm excited to see that, and also excited for more Animal Crossing. You know, I know that I will eventually get a Switch. It could be sooner than later. I'm not sure about that, but yeah, I'm wondering when the first bundle will happen, because I was also thinking about Nintendo historically, and I feel like they're more inclined to do bundles than price drops. And I'm guessing, unless sales really flop, and of course there are store promotions as well, that we'll see a promotion at E3. That probably, I guess, would include 1-2 Switch or something. I would assume 1-2 Switch, just because you'd want something that has a lot of different small games that then you can, like, hey, let's show my friends all these games and whatnot. But yeah. So that will do it for this here short episode of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. I did record this and then delete that and re-record it because I was going to talk about something serious and decided not to. So I'm going to throw it out real quick. Found out yesterday my brother got married and he moved to Rhode Island. No idea. So I'm taking that as the final straw in the camel's back. What is the saying I'm trying to think of? But I'm taking that as the last straw in our relationship, and it's officially dead, and I have no brother, which that's not really surprising. He's like wished me happy birthday once in like the last 5 years, maybe twice, you know, but never a card or a gift or any type of meaningful conversation in all that time either. So c'est la vie. Yeah, but yeah, I'm used to it, so I'm pretty good at accepting it and just moving on. It's harder just because he is my brother, but what are you gonna do, right? Oh boy. But that is in part why I get nervous about certain relationships in my life, like why I am scared to actually like meet the people who I want to meet more than any one in person, are John and Beth and Declan and their new baby girl. But I'm terrified of actually meeting them in person, because there's this part of me and this thought in my head that says, well, once they meet you in person and see you, they're going to realize, we don't really like this person. We don't need to keep them in our life anymore. And that terrifies me, because they're important people in my life. John has been a very important person in my life, despite us never meeting. He's one of the few people I feel I can confide in with anything. I trust his opinion and have gone to him in various situations where I needed someone to talk to and didn't know where to turn to. And he's always been there. He's always lended his ear, and he's never shy to, like, he doesn't sugarcoat things either, which I've always appreciated. He's a really good guy. Beth's a really good lady. They're a great family. I still remember how wonderful it was when I found out that she is pregnant with Declan. But yeah, terrifies me. But yeah, nobody cares to hear about that. So this will do it for the episode. Once again, I'm your host, Mark Cugines. Y'all can find me on the Twitters and the Instagram and the Xbox Live and my anime list. I really have to start using Instagram again, because I've been so lazy on there for months and months now. And I think I might do both art and singing on there, because Snapchat, I can't stand Snapchat. I get on there and then I get off and then I get on. And I get off. Oh, I get off. but yeah, on all those places, at PX Sausage. On PSN, I'm the Kush 3. That is the KUSH and the number 3. The site is, of course, pixelatedsausage.com, where you can find this podcast, the other podcasts we do, Pixelated Radio. Whenever we record another episode, you can find there. Of course, you can find all of them on iTunes as well, where you can rate, review, and subscribe to them if you haven't already. It'd be greatly appreciated. And the art you can also find on the site. And if you'd like it, you can go over to pxsart.com and order a print or two that away. And if you just want to support us in general because you like us, you can go over to patreon.com/pxs. And support us that way. Yep. Okay, bye-bye.